Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at
Oh, this is a good one.
this is Attention Is All You Need, a classic,
Classic.
a classic paper
Definitely a classic.
in natural language processing.
Huge.
Really shaped how we build AI models today.
It really has.
Even if you're not a tech expert, you know.
This paper basically laid the foundation for a lot of the AI we interact with every day.
Yeah, that's what's so fascinating about this paper. It's not just some abstract theory. It's actually changing how we experience technology. So let's dive in and unpack why it's such a big deal. Can you give us some background on the problem this paper was trying to solve?
Sure. So, think about how computers understand language. It's not like us humans who can grasp the meaning of a whole sentence at once. Computers typically process language sequentially, word by word. For a long time, the go-to tool for this was recurrent neural networks,
RNNs.
or RNNs,
Right. I remember reading about those. They kind of operate like a chain, right? Passing information along from one link to the next.
Exactly. That approach worked, but it had some limitations. RNNs could be really computationally expensive, especially for longer sentences. Imagine trying to read a whole novel one word at a time. It would take forever.
It sounds.
And they also struggled with understanding how words far apart in a sentence could still be related, which we call long-range dependencies.
Long-range dependencies. Can you give us an example of what that looks like?
Sure, think about this sentence. The cat, which was chasing a mouse, jumped over the fence. The verb jumped refers back to the cat, even though there's a whole clause in between. RNNs sometimes had trouble keeping track of those connections over longer distances.
I see. It's like reading a mystery novel and forgetting who the prime suspect was a few chapters back.
That's a great analogy. And that's where Attention Is All You Need swoops in with its groundbreaking solution, the transformer. Here we go. This new model completely ditches the step-by-step approach of RNNs and instead uses this super efficient mechanism called attention.
Attention. So, like, how we as humans pay attention to specific words in a sentence to understand its meaning, is that what the transformer is doing, but computationally?
Precisely. Think about how you read a sentence. You don't give equal importance to every single word. You focus on certain keywords and phrases to understand the overall meaning. The transformer, with its attention mechanism, allows a model to do the same thing. It figures out which parts of the input are most relevant to each other and focuses on those connections.
So instead of reading like a robot word by word, the transformer is more like a detective, zeroing in on the key clues to understand the whole picture.
Exactly. It's a much more dynamic and efficient way for a machine to process language. Now, to understand how this attention works, we need to dive a little deeper into the mechanics. The paper describes something called scaled dot product attention.
Scaled dot product attention. That sounds a bit intimidating.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Can you break that down for us non-experts?
Absolutely. It's actually a very elegant concept. Imagine you're searching for a specific file on your computer. You have a search query, and the computer looks for files with matching keywords. That's essentially what the attention mechanism is doing.
Got it.
The query is like your question about the sentence. And the keys are specific words or phrases within the sentence. The values are the information associated with those keys. The dot product part is just a way of measuring how well the query and keys match up.
Like ranking those search results by relevance.
Exactly, like ranking those search results by relevance. But the transformer doesn't just have one search engine, right? It has something called multi-head attention.
Multi-head attention. Okay, so it's like a super fast search engine for meaning within a sentence, but it's got multiple heads.
Instead of just one attention mechanism, the transformer has multiple heads, allowing the model to look for different kinds of information at the same time.
At the same time.
It's like having a team of experts reading the text, each focusing on a different aspect of meaning.
That's amazing. It's like having one expert analyzing the grammar, another figuring out the emotional tone, and another focusing on the overall context. It's multitasking, but on a whole other level.
And what's really fascinating is that this multi-headed approach seems to reflect how our own brains might work. We don't just process language in a linear way. We're constantly making connections and drawing on different kinds of knowledge to understand what we're reading or hearing.
So this AI model might actually be giving us clues about how our own minds process language.
It might be.
That's pretty mind-blowing. But this attention thing, yeah, it's clearly a big deal.
It is.
But what practical advantages does it offer?
So,
why should we care?
The benefits are significant.
Okay, lay it on me.
First, training a transformer is way faster than those older RNN models.
Okay.
Remember how I mentioned they were computationally expensive?
Uh-huh.
Well, the transformer, with its parallel processing abilities, can crunch through data much faster.
Okay.
This means we can build more sophisticated AI with less computing power.
So faster training means faster progress.
Exactly.
Which ultimately benefits everyone.
Yes.
What else?
Second, it can handle much longer sequences of text, thanks to its ability to focus on those long-range dependencies.
Nice.
This is a game changer for tasks like translating lengthy documents or analyzing complex pieces of writing.
Right.
And third, it's actually more interpretable than RNNs.
Okay.
We can actually visualize what the attention mechanism is focusing on,
uh-huh,
which wasn't possible with those older models.
So it's not just about building AI that can do amazing things.
Right.
It's about building AI that we can understand and trust. We can actually peek inside and see how it's making decisions. That's a huge step forward in terms of transparency and accountability.
It is. Now. And that's why this paper has had such a lasting impact.
Yeah.
It shifted the focus from brute force computation to a more elegant and insightful approach to language processing.
So elegant and insightful.
But the real question is,
yeah,
did this new architecture actually deliver?
Right. Did it actually lead to better results? Let's find out in part two.
Oh, it did. It absolutely did. The results were impressive. Attention is all you need. Showcase the transformer's power in machine translation. And the improvements were significant, not just tiny tweaks.
I'm all ears. Give us the details. How much better did it perform compared to what was out there before?
Well, on the WMT 2014 English to German translation task, their large transformer model achieved a BLEU score, a common metric for evaluating machine translation, of 28.4.
Okay. A BLEU score of 28.4. For those of us who aren't deep in the machine translation world, what does that actually mean?
It means that it was significantly better than the previous best models, including those that combine multiple models, which are called ensembles. Imagine trying to translate a complex technical document. The transformer was able to produce translations that were not only more accurate, but also more fluent and natural sounding.
So it wasn't just a small step forward. It was a major leap in quality. What about English to French? Did it perform just as well on that task?
Even better. For English to French, their large model achieved a BLEU score of 41.00, again outperforming all previously published single models. And get this, it did so at a fraction of the training cost. They reported using less than a quarter of the training cost of the previous state-of-the-art model.
Faster, better, and cheaper. It sounds like the transformer was hitting all the right notes. What were some of the technical tricks they used to achieve these results? The paper mentions something about byte pairing coding for representing text. What's that all about?
That's a great question. Byte pairing coding is a clever technique that allowed them to have a shared vocabulary for both the source and target languages. Instead of treating each word as a separate unit, they broke them down into smaller chunks called byte pairs.
So it's kind of like breaking down a complex Lego structure into its individual blocks. Makes sense.
Exactly. And this approach is particularly helpful for languages like German, which are known for those super long compound words.
Right. I remember struggling with those in high school German class. But they didn't just stop there. They also talked about using word piece vocabulary for English to French. What's the difference?
Word piece vocabulary is similar to byte pair encoding, but allows for even more flexibility. It's like having different sized Lego blocks to work with. This flexibility makes it easier for the model to handle words it has never seen before, which is crucial for translation, especially when dealing with technical terms or slang.
That's really clever. I'm always fascinated by these ingenious ways of making language digestible for computers. The paper also mentions using GPUs for training. Was that new at the time?
Using GPUs, or graphics processing units, was becoming more common in machine learning around that time. But this paper really highlighted their power for training these massive complex models. They used 8 NVIDIA P100 GPUs for their experiments, which significantly reduced training times.
8 GPUs? That's a lot of processing power. I remember when gaming PCs with one GPU were considered top of the line. But they didn't just throw hardware at the problem, did they? They also did a lot of experimentation with different model variations.
They certainly did. The paper describes numerous experiments to analyze different components of the transformer. They tweaked things like the number of attention heads, the dimensions of the keys and values, and even the positional encoding, which helps the model understand the order of words in a sentence. They're essentially trying to find the optimal configuration for each task.
So they were really trying to understand the nuts and bolts of what made this architecture tick. Was there anything they found particularly surprising in their experiments? Any unexpected results?
One interesting finding was that reducing the attention key size actually hurt model quality. The key size determines the length of the search query we talked about earlier.
So shorter queries, less accurate results.
Exactly. This suggests that determining the relationship between a query and a key is a complex task. Using simple dot products like matching keywords might not be the most effective approach.
So there's still room for improvement even with this revolutionary architecture.
Absolutely. There's always room for improvement in AI research. The authors acknowledge this in the paper, suggesting that exploring more sophisticated compatibility functions could be a promising avenue for future research. Imagine if we could teach the model to not just match keywords, but to truly understand the nuances of meaning and context.
It's amazing to think about the possibilities. If this was just the beginning of the attention era, what does the future hold for NLP? What other areas did the paper explore beyond machine translation? Didn't they also apply the transformer to constituency parsing?
They did. Constituency parsing is about understanding the grammatical structure of a sentence. It's like diagramming a sentence, breaking it down into its component parts, like noun phrases, verb phrases, and so on. This task is crucial for many NLP applications because understanding the structure of a sentence is essential for grasping the meaning.
Okay, so it's like those sentence diagrams we used to do in school, but on a much more complex level. But why would a model designed for translation be good at understanding sentence structure? Those seem like pretty different tasks.
You would think so, right?
Mm.
But surprisingly, the transformer performed exceptionally well on this parsing task, even though it wasn't specifically designed for it. They trained a four-layer transformer on the Wall Street Journal portion of the Penn Tree Bank, a standard data set for parsing experiments.
So they gave it a test drive on a completely different track, and it still managed to excel. What were the results?
Their model achieved an F1 score, a common metric for evaluating parsing accuracy of 91.3, outperforming all previously reported models trained only on that specific data set. It was able to accurately identify the different grammatical components of a sentence, like a seasoned linguist.
So even on a task outside its primary domain, the transformer was holding its own against specialized parsing models. That really speaks to its versatility. But they didn't stop there, did they? They also tried something called semi-supervised training.
Yes. They took it a step further by training the transformer in a semi-supervised setting, which involves using a combination of labeled data, where the correct parse trees are provided, and unlabeled data, where the model has to figure things out on its own. This allows the model to learn from a much larger data set. They used a data set with around 17 million sentences for this experiment.
17 million sentences? That's a lot of data. Did this new approach improve the results?
You bet. With the semi-supervised approach, the transformer achieved an F1 score of 92.7, surpassing even the best previously reported results on this task. It was a clear demonstration that the transformer could generalize across different NLP tasks and could learn effectively from both labeled and unlabeled data.
The transformer is starting to sound like a real overachiever. Not only did it revolutionize machine translation, but it also made significant contributions to parsing, showing its ability to adapt and excel in different areas. What else did the authors envision for this new architecture? Did they have any thoughts on future applications?
They did. In their conclusion, they expressed excitement about the future of attention-based models, hinting at applications that go beyond just text. They imagined applying the transformer to other modalities like images, audio, and video.
Wow, that's thinking outside the box. So instead of just processing words, they were envisioning using attention to understand visual and auditory information as well. That's fascinating.
Exactly. They were suggesting that attention is a fundamental mechanism for intelligence, not just for language. They believed that the transformer, with its ability to model relationships between different data elements, could revolutionize a wide range of tasks.
It sounds like they were truly ahead of their time, envisioning a future where AI could understand and reason about the world in a much more holistic way. Did they give any specific examples of how this might work?
They mentioned the goal of making generation less sequential. This could refer to tasks like image generation, where the current pixel being generated might depend on the surrounding pixels. Mm-hmm. They may have envisioned using attention to capture these dependencies more effectively, allowing for faster and more realistic image generation.
That makes sense. Just like words in a sentence, pixels in an image have relationships with each other. It's all about understanding those connections, whether it's language images or even sounds.
Okay.
So this attention mechanism really has the potential to change the game across multiple domains.
It really does. The author's insights has sparked a wave of research and development in attention-based models, and we're only just beginning to explore its full potential. But before we get too carried away thinking about the future, let's take a closer look at how this attention mechanism actually works in practice. The paper includes a section on attention visualizations, which offers a fascinating glimpse into the mind of the transformer.
Attention visualizations. That sounds intriguing. It's like we get to peek behind the curtain and see what's really going on inside the model's brain. Let's dive into those visualizations in part three. All right, so we're back and ready to dive into these attention visualizations.
Yeah.
We've been talking them up.
Yeah, they're really cool.
So hopefully they live up to the hype.
I think they will. It's like getting a sneak peek into the inner workings of the Transformer's mind.
Okay, before we get to the visuals themselves, can you remind us what these attention weights actually represent?
Sure. So remember how we talked about the attention mechanism calculating the relevance of different parts of the input? The attention weights basically show us how much the model is focusing on each word or phrase in relation to the others.
So it's like a heat map of the model's focus. The brighter the spot, the more attention it's paying to that specific part of the sentence.
Exactly. And these visualizations can reveal a lot about how the model is understanding the language. They can show us how the model is tracking relationships between words, resolving pronoun references, and even attending to different layers of meaning at the same time.
Okay, I'm ready to be amazed. What were some of the most interesting patterns the researchers observed in these visualizations?
One of the most striking findings was how well the transformer captured long-range dependencies, something we mentioned earlier that RNNs struggled with. The paper shows a visualization of the model successfully attending to a distant dependency related to the verb making in this sentence. It is in this spirit that a majority of American governments have passed new laws since 2009, making the registration or voting process more difficult.
That's a pretty complex sentence. So even though the word making is far away from the phrase more difficult, at the end, the model was still able to make that connection.
Precisely. The visualization shows how one of the attention heads in the encoder was laser focused on that relationship, highlighting the words making and difficult as key elements in understanding the meaning of the sentence.
So it's not just matching words, it's understanding the relationship between them.
Exactly. And this ability to track long-range dependencies is crucial for tasks like translation, where accurately conveying the meaning of a complex sentence depends on understanding these subtle connections.
What other interesting patterns did they find?
Another fascinating example involves anaphora resolution, which is figuring out what a pronoun refers back to. The paper shows a visualization where two attention heads work together to figure out what the pronoun its refers to in the sentence.
Yeah.
The law will never be perfect, but its application should be just, this is what we are missing, in my opinion.
Pronouns. Always tricky even for us humans sometimes.
Right.
How did the model figure it out?
So the visualization shows one attention head focusing on the word law earlier in the sentence, while another head attends to the phrase application should be just.
So it's like the model is taking into account both the grammatical subject, the law, and the context of the pronoun, its application, to accurately determine the reference.
Exactly. It's a great example of how the multi-head attention mechanism allows the model to consider multiple aspects of meaning simultaneously, just like a human would, to arrive at a more accurate interpretation.
It really is like peering into its mind. These attention visualizations are so compelling.
I know.
They provide such a fascinating window into how the transformer processes language.
They do.
Revealing its ability to capture complex relationships and even mimic some aspects of human cognition. It's mind-blowing to think that we can actually visualize how an AI thinks.
It is. The paper also highlights how many of the attention heads seem to focus on elements related to the grammatical structure of the sentence. There are examples where different heads appear to be picking out things like subject-verb relationships, noun phrases, and prepositional phrases.
So it's like each head is playing a specific role in analyzing the sentence, and their combined efforts create a comprehensive understanding of its grammatical structure.
That's a great way to think about it.
I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Attention is All You Need. It's been an incredible journey exploring this groundbreaking paper from the limitations of previous approaches to the power and elegance of the transformer.
And we even got to peek inside its mind.
Yeah, thanks to these attention visualizations, it's been really fun.
It has. This paper was truly a game changer in the field of AI. The transformer and its attention mechanism have not only revolutionized NLP, but have also inspired countless innovations in other areas.
It really has had a huge impact. I hope this deep dive has inspired you to learn more about attention and its impact on the world of AI. It's a fascinating field with endless potential.
Absolutely. And who knows what incredible breakthroughs await us in the future as we continue to explore the power of attention.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.